Hello, and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show, coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guest is founder and executive pastor of Church of His Presence, and our dear friend, Dr. John Kilpatrick. Our co-host today is Mondo de la Vega. And I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from Gray Street at Morningside, USA, please welcome our hosts, Pastors Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue Baker. Welcome, everyone, to Gray Street, you beautiful people.
Yes.
Oh, my, and my young sister is right there in the front row with me.
We love our Aunt Donna.
And Aunt Donna is 87, you said, right?
She just turned. Just
Lori knows all the ages and the dates and the times of all the birthdays and, all the grandchildren. And
Well, I don't know. The grandchildren keep coming, and I'm like, whoa, I gotta get that.
Long as you know Tammy, Susan, and I, that's all we have.
We have 19 grandchildren. Is that right?
23.
Oh, 23. Oh, God.
23.
And it moves up all that. I mean, it was 19 for a long time. We have 23 now.
Yeah, and growing.
Two more on the way.
I have one great.
Yes, one great. That's Jet.
That's
my sweet little Jet. He's silly and fun, and I love him.
So you're a grandmother.
I'm a grandma.
That's right.
And I'm a great grandpa.
That's right, great grandpa.
Do you have any grandchildren?
I do. I have great grandchildren.
Oh my God.
Oh, elder.
Well, you know.
That makes me feel good.
I've got two great grandchildren, two great granddaughters.
Wow, I love that.
So I had two sons, and then I had five grandsons, and then I had two great granddaughters. Oh. So we had to go down the line to get girls.
Oh.
But they finally showed up.
They did.
And they're beautiful.
Oh.
They're sweet and they're beautiful.
Do you ever tell your age?
Me?
Yeah.
There we go.
Well, if you have great grandchildren, you can't be a kid anymore. You look young. You really do. You don't look like a really old man.
57. No, I'm kidding. I'm 71, almost 72.
Oh.
I'm almost 72.
Oh my God. That's great.
You know, I noticed y'all announced me John Kilpatrick, Dr. John Kilpatrick, but you know, they just gave me that. And so I'm appreciative of it, but I told him, I said, I just wish it could have been Archbishop.
Why did you actually work to get a doctorate, though?
Well, they gave it to me because of life experiences.
Yeah.
And because of the revivals and all. You know, I've had two revivals and so.
Yeah.
They came down and presented me with an earned doctorate. And I was really appreciative.
Well, you deserve it.
Well,
this is the man from the Brownsville Revival.
Yeah, thank you.
God used.
And you told me, I tell the people what you said about, can we have another Brownsville Revival? What do you think may come next in the world?
I think people are hungry for revival. I'm seeing more hunger now than I saw before revival at Brownsville.
Mm.
And, you know, people were hungry back then. That was back during the Clinton administration. But now, you know, there's such unrest and such division in the nations and the world.
Mm-hmm.
And people now are, they're grasping, they're trying to find out what the world's going on.
Yeah.
They're trying to make sense of it all.
That's right.
And now they're beginning to rouse out of sleep. Mm. They're not out of bed yet.
But
they woke up and they're still covered up. But they hadn't got out of the bed yet and shaved and brushed their teeth.
Oh, boy.
But people are beginning to ask questions. And, you know, one of the things I think is important for we preachers, my pastor raised me up. You know, he was my mentor. And one of the things he always said to me was, he said, son, when you become a preacher, never try to answer questions nobody's asking.
Oh.
He said, because if you try to answer questions that nobody's asking, you know, you're not going to have a crowd. You've got to deal with things that's on people's minds.
Yes.
And one of the things I would say today to preachers, and I love preachers, they're my heroes. I'm not saying it in a critical way, but one of the things I would say is we've got to get back behind our pulpits and start telling people what's going on.
Yes.
Not be afraid to deal with Bible prophecy. Not be afraid to deal with the coming of Christ. Not be afraid to deal with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because these things are on people's minds. And I really believe that people are leaving church every Sunday not dissatisfied. because they love their pastor and they love their church, but they're unsatisfied. And when you leave church unsatisfied, it means that you were really hoping to get something. You don't even know what it was, but you're leaving basically the same way you came in. But there's something in people that's crying out for reality.
Yes.
And to make sense of everything. And we've got to get behind the pulpit and start dealing with things that's on people's minds. And there's a lot on people's minds today.
Sure, a lot.
Yeah.
Let me roll this piece from Roe Wade. I didn't want Maine to get in it this fast, but we're talking about what we should talk about on the shows, what people want to know. What do you do when half the people don't want to know?
Tell them anyway.
Yeah. No, that's good.
It doesn't matter because, you know, when Noah built the ark, the Lord told him, he said, look, you might not have any converts. The ark's just going to be big enough for two of every animal and eight people, but preach anyway. So you can't preach just because your message is being rejected or you're being spurned. You've got to preach anyway. Yeah. That's what we're called to do.
Jesus said that as it was in the days of Noah, that it's going to be when he comes back.
Exactly.
That's pretty scary.
It is, but, you know, like I said, there was just room on that boat for so many people. He didn't build a boat the size of a city. He built it just big enough for two of the animals and eight people. That was it. And he labored, you know, all those many years preaching every day while he worked on the boat. So you're laboring every day on the Jim Baker Show, and there might be people that criticize you. There might be people that makes fun of you.
Yeah.
And there might be people that rejects you, but they still tune in anyway.
That's right.
And you're telling them whether they want to hear or not. And, you know, the Bible says whether they hear or whether they forbear, tell them anyhow.
This Roe Wade thing is shaking the nation. They say it's the most shocking event as far as in the courts that has never happened before. I was one of the first people in history to go on television and show a fetus.
Yeah.
In fact, what we did was, at that time, this was way, way back.
Back in the 70s.
And you know, I'm upset over the fact we're just mass killing of babies. And we're killed, what, 60 million now,
62
Lori?
Million in the United States.
And so we obtained pictures of one of the clinics, and out behind the clinics was barrels of babies that were aborted. And actually on the barrel was a full-term baby too, but it was babies. And I literally was taken off the air in New York City because they said it was indecent.
Yeah.
You know, even though they were showing X-rated movies in the middle of the night in New York, it was indecent that I showed up here. And that's how they feel about it. And so let's roll this piece from CBN about Roe Wade.
Protesters on both sides of the abortion debate are turning out across the country in reaction to the leaked draft of a Supreme Court opinion overturning Roe versus Wade.
I was happy that I saw what we believe should be the decision moving forward.
It's horrible. It's so depressing. It's shocking. I can't believe it.
Chief Justice John Roberts confirmed the draft is authentic, but said the decision is not final. He also called the leak an egregious breach and ordered an investigation to find out who did it. The opinion, written by Justice Alito in February, says Roe must be overruled, and reportedly has the support of four other justices.
We now have confirmation. There are five votes to overturn Roe versus Wade clearly and unequivocally. There is a draft opinion. Nothing is final until the opinion comes out. With abortion, a case of this magnitude, you never say never, but it would be very surprising if anyone changes their votes at this time.
In the Senate, Republican leader Mitch McConnell blasted the leak as another attempt at pressuring the court.
What's unique about today is this is the first time we've had somebody on the inside try to attack the institution.
With Democrats expressing outrage at the draft ruling and calling for federal laws to protect abortion.
It is our intention for the Senate to hold a vote on legislation to codify the right to an abortion in law.
But such a bill can't get past a Senate filibuster, And one of the main Democratic holdouts, West Virginia's Joe Manchin, appears to be holding firm on keeping the filibuster.
Are you prepared to support ending the filibuster to deal with Roe?
I have no comment to make on basically leaks and things of that sort. Let's wait to see everything.
Meanwhile, legal experts and pro-life advocates say overturning Roe is just the beginning of the fight to end abortion in America.
If the court overrules Roe versus Wade, that doesn't end the debate on abortion. It really just restores it and restarts it. So then it will be up to the legislatures, to the people's representatives in every individual state to pass abortion laws or restrictions as they see fit.
This does not make things easier for the pro-life movement. In fact, it turns it from one fight into 50 fights.
While abortion advocates point to national polls showing most Americans believe Roe should not be overturned, the states tell a different story, as legislatures across the country are passing laws restricting or banning abortion.
Wow, this is so shocking. And, you know, Lori, you've experienced this. It's not a beautiful thing. I see all these women and young boys, young men, marching on the Supreme Court. What do you think of this? Have we lost the value and meaning of human life?
Well, in my opinion, I think what the leak was all about is I think that they're trying to get America so stirred up that we'll go ahead now and bypass the 9-member Supreme Court and go ahead and expand it to 14.
Mm-hmm. Calling packing the court.
Let's pack the court. Mm-hmm. We're not going to let this happen. We're going to pack the court, which means they're going to dilute everything. And that means it would be in the favor of a certain, you know, political party at all times. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what they're up to. Mm. But the other thing is that really troubles me is, you know, when the Lord said to Abel, he said to Cain, he said, "Where's your brother?" And he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "Well, I hear his blood crying out from the ground to me." Blood doesn't need a body. Blood doesn't need a tongue. Blood has a language. And it's becoming so deafening in the ears of God, all these aborted babies. It's just becoming deafening. Because every one of those, the blood of those aborted babies is crying out to God for vengeance.
That's right.
60 million babies dead?
Yeah.
That's a mountain of dead babies. And the left thinks it's wonderful.
Well, last week I heard the political arm of Putin's party in Russia have a program, and they said that if you fool with us in Ukraine and you inhibit what we're trying to do, that we will release nuclear missiles on Europe, and it will take 160 seconds for the missile to reach you. 160 seconds. So they said if we mash a button, it will take 160 seconds to wipe Europe out. So that barely made the news. Now, here's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
If that would have happened under Ronald Reagan, if that would have happened back 30, 40 years ago, we were a different country. We were more alert. We were more acute. We were more awake. Mm-hmm. But we have become so dull that now when they announced that, it barely made the news.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
A threat of nuclear war, and it even barely made the news. So there's things that's happening now that's not even touching the psychic of the American public because we've become deluded. It's strong delusion is what it is. And here's what the Bible says. It says, because they love not the truth, I will send a spirit of strong delusion.
That's it. Say that louder.
That's it.
The Bible says, God said, because they love not the truth, I will send them a spirit of strong delusion. Mm. And when a person's deluded, they're dulled down so much that they see these things happening, but it doesn't move them because they're so deluded. That's why Congress, that's why preachers, that's why all kinds of leaders can't get up and really influence the congregation, because their hearing is so dull, so dull. It's something that a hearing aid won't help. It's not that kind of hearing. It's a hearing, a spiritual sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and to truth that moves people. Mm. But when you get so deluded you're hearing these things, but it doesn't move you to action.
Wow.
So that's why, you know, you see these people up there in Washington outside the Supreme Court protesting. Mm-hmm. They have an ear to hear that, but they can't hear truth.
Right.
That's the deal.
That is the deal.
And so we preachers have to realize when we get behind our pulpits today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A lot of times we have to have the anointing mm-hmm. to break through that.
Absolutely.
If you don't have the anointing, you can't break through that.
Right.
And you're not going to be doing that much good.
I love your preaching. You know, I tell you behind the scenes, but I DVR Pastor John Kilpatrick, and watch
him. We have you in our home.
But you know what I appreciate is you do speak the truth, and you do speak to cultural issues. We're all living in it. This is our culture we're living in, and we need spiritual leadership. I believe people are wanting it. I believe born again people that love the Lord with all their heart. They're needing leaders. They need a Jim Baker. They need a Pastor John Kilpatrick. They need him to speak into our lives and help, because it's crazy if you watch as much news as we do.
John, you and I are talking in the green room, and I was shocked. You told me stories about your life has been threatened. And In fact, the story you told was pretty wild.
Yeah, I had a call one time at 3 o'clock in the morning, and this operator said, I'm calling person to person with John Kilpatrick. This is before the days of cell phones. I said, this is he. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. Woke me out of a dead sleep. And she said, I'm going to patch so-and-so through to you. They have an emergency. So this gravelly voice got on the line, and he said, are you John Kilpatrick? I said, yes. He said, well, this coming Sunday, I'll be the one that stands up with an all-weather coat on, a trench coat. And he said, I'll have an Uzi, and I'm going to cut you in half. And he used bad language. And I said, you foul spirit, you can't kill me. I said, I bind you in Jesus' name. And I hung up. Well, a few minutes later, the operator called me back. And she said, Reverend, did you hang up on that man that was going to commit suicide? I said, first of all, operator, you need to mind your own business. And I said, second of all, he wasn't going to commit suicide. He called to threaten my life. Oh, I'm so sorry. So anyway, what happened the following Sunday, I get behind my pulpit at Brownsville. And I had all these TV lights, you know, up over my head, this cluster of TV lights. And I read the scripture, had everybody be seated. And as soon as everybody was seated, bam, one of the TV lights busted above my head.
Oh.
And I thought somebody shot me, man. I was feeling all over myself like, am I still here?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was the way the devil set me up. And, and he let that TV light bust just to intimidate me.
Mm.
So here's what I'm trying to say to you. Don't you be intimidated by anybody
That's
or anything.
That's right.
Don't you be intimidated by anything. You are called by God.
Yeah.
You stand firm on your own two feet. Speak forth the oracles of God, whether they hear or whether they forbear. Go home and have a Whataburger afterwards. You just don't need to let it get to you.
Well, right now, I've been threatened.
That's it, Pastor. Mm-hmm.
Just, if I don't stop preaching what I'm preaching, they're going to wipe me out. Basically, wipe me out. And at my age, you only send me to heaven. So, you know, it's my family that I worry about. And everything.
Well, let me tell you one story that happened at Brownsville. This is the true story. I know we're talking about these kind of things, so. One Friday night in a revival service, we probably had 4,000 or 5,000 people there. And revival had probably been underway about a year. So this young guy comes in. He's got on a leather jacket. He's probably in his 20s. I'd say 25, 26. And he comes up and he says to me, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to kill the evangelist. I'm going to kill you. I've come here to kill you. I said, son, you need to just stop that nonsense right now. You can't kill us. I said, God sent this revival. You can't end it. And so, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, he told Steve the same thing. So this guy leaves the church. He's walking across the parking lot to go to his car. Fell dead in the parking lot.
Oh.
This is a true story.
Mm.
And we had to wait that night. Me and Steve and all of us had to wait around that night till the police and the coroner could come out and pick up the body. He fell dead in the parking lot, and that's the true story. So let me just say
this to you. So I'm just thinking, you know, when you tell me that story, you know, I needed you to be here today because Lori, both Lori and I are going through horrendous warfare, probably the greatest we've ever had. And I was just thinking, as you said that, when people got together to destroy Heritage USA and to take it and do whatever they did, every person involved with that directly is dead now.
Yeah.
And the people who were going to take over, the man who they put in charge to take over, if they got me out, he fell dead the day before. And a lot of people don't know this. The prosecutors and people that come, and the judge, they're all dead. You know, so God has protected me, but sometimes you wonder, there is such an onslaught today. I want to ask you, has God been restraining, really, his hand of destruction? Because I believe if he destroys Sodom and Gomorrah and he destroys, you know, Noah's day because they were sinning, he looks at America, and here we are marching in the streets to kill babies. Marching. Like, it's evil to not let people kill their babies. So God has been restraining his hand and holding off on things. Do you feel his hand is lifting off the United States? Do you think God is lifting his hands off the United States? I mean, it's terrible what's happening. And I don't know, before I came on the air, the stock market was
over 1,000 points down.
Over 1,000 down. It goes up and down, so we doesn't know what it means, but it we know it. The experts are telling us we're going to have a recession. I don't know what's the difference between a depression and a recession, because we used to call them depressions, but we're aiming for something. Well, what is God saying to America?
The way I look at it is the Bible, you know, went ahead. A prophecy is history written in advance.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Prophecy is Bible. Bible prophecy is history written in advance. So the Lord said these things is going to happen, and we're going to see it.
Yeah, you know,
we're going to observe it and see it. But if I was a betting man, which I'm not, if Jesus tarries his coming,
yes,
and you invite me back 5 years from now, you're still going to be alive.
Whoa.
You're still going to be sharp. You're still going to be talking about these things, and the devil cannot kill you.
Amen.
You cannot kill. You cannot curse what God has blessed.
Wow.
You cannot curse what God has blessed. And that's just
Thank
the way it is.
Thank you for that word.
You've
because
been
that
here,
makes me feel
look here,
better.
You've been through many dangers, toils, and snares.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
And the rest of what you've got to face will be no different. Matter of fact, the Bible says you'll laugh when calamity cometh.
Mm.
You can sit back and laugh because you know God's got his hand around you.
Right.
And he's got his spirit on you. Mm. Devil can't take you out, Jim. Mm. He can't take me out.
That's right.
I'm just as confident in that as I can possibly be. The devil cannot take me out. I don't even worry about it.
Amen.
Wow. You know, I was given 45-year prison sentence. And that means I'd still be in prison, by the way.
Yeah, it does.
But Alan Dershowitz came and appealed my case. And he believed I was innocent. Can you believe that? A Jewish lawyer comes and defends me and gets my case literally thrown out. It's the judge, who's also dead, gets the judge thrown out.
But you had nothing to do with that.
No, I was sitting in a prison cell while my appeal was going on. And I'll tell you, prisoners came to me in the prison cell and told me that I'd won the case.
Yeah.
And the head of prison,
the warden.
Warden, he thought I was going to go out within weeks from prison, and he called me short timer. That's what they call you when you get it now. And I still spent two more years in prison because the government hated me. The government wanted a preacher. That left wants to kill the Church of Jesus Christ. And they're going to defame it. They're going to try to smear us. They're going to try to wipe us out. And that's what they're doing. So all when you start hearing all this stuff about preachers, just remember preachers are human and they've all done stuff that probably shouldn't be in the papers. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Not really. Not me.
No, not you. No.
John, Pastor John.
But that's the way like, it is.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You're one of the perfect ones, right? But recently you taught a new message titled Dealing with Fierce Times.
That's an excellent title.
We're dealing with fierce times. Can you give us a brief overview of that message?
Before
right
I do
now,
that,
before?
If you'll let me deviate just a minute before I do that, I want to tell you something.
You can
about,
say anything you want.
You.
Just take over.
Yes.
Okay, Joseph.
Yes.
Joseph was in prison.
Yes.
He was put there because he didn't belong there, but he was put there. So the butler and the baker came in, and they spoke to the Pharaoh about him. Pharaoh brought him in. He got favor with the Pharaoh. And God used a prisoner to preserve the nation.
That's right.
God pulled you out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
You had nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
God pulled you out of prison. It was like a baker and a butler came in and got you delivered. And now you're preaching to the nation a preserving message
mm-hmm.
that we need to hear. You're like a type of a Joseph.
Yeah.
That's just what God does.
Yes.
So you're a deliverer. And you have to see yourself as a deliverer.
Yes.
And here's what I would say to you. If God lays his hand on you and God raises you up, there's nobody that can put a hand on you, Jim.
That's right.
Nobody. Only yeah. you yourself. But nobody can touch you. Nobody can touch me. I really feel that way. I'm blessed.
Yes.
I know I'm blessed. When I walk around, I know I'm blessed.
Yes.
And there ain't a thing the devil can do about it.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Wow. It's the truth.
It's true.
It's true.
In all of our lives.
This question I just asked you, we're actually offering it on the yeah. show today on a tape. Do you have mm-hmm. it here, honey?
Yes.
Here mm-hmm. it is. It's called...
It's a DVD.
In Times Like These, and then it's the Town Hall on mm-hmm. Revival and the End Times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Dealing with Fierce Times in Times Like... It's two messages on the video that this is our offering for today of $20. So we have a clip from this. And then we'll talk about it. Okay, let's roll this.
I'm going to be saying some things today that you might not have heard before, and I don't want it to throw you. When truth first comes to us, it comes in negative form. But if you hold on to it long enough, the Bible says if you ask the Lord for bread, he won't give you a stone. There's only one source in the world that is faultless and totally reliable, and it's this right here. It's the Word of God. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
God is not only correct about the future, but only God's Word is correct about the past. If you want to know about the past, you can forget your history books, because many times they've been tampered with to meet socialist ideas. But if you want to know about the past, go to God's Word and He'll tell you all you need to know. If you come to the Lord and you ask God for something like truth and like revelation, and God gives it to you, and you don't do anything with it, you can forget about coming to Him and ask Him for more. Because if you didn't do anything with what He's already showed you, He's not going to keep giving you stuff. People love themselves. And the Bible said in the last days that people would love themselves. They're going to love money. They're going to be in love with money. So all these signs that Paul gave is a self-absorbed generation of Christians in the last days. Know this, in the last days. You let some preacher preach to you that grace saves you regardless and everything's going to be all right. I beg your pardon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm quoting the Apostle Paul. I'm not quoting Pastor so-and-so of today's world. In today's world, the gospel has been so watered down and is so deceptive that people anymore don't know what to believe. But one thing I want to tell you is this. I'm not going to intentionally mislead anybody. I'm not going to put you under a burden. I'm not going to put you under condemnation. But I am going to tell you the truth.
And that's why I watch you.
Yeah.
That's where I get ministered to from
you. You get the whole message and plus the town hall.
Yes.
What's the town hall about?
Yes.
Well, I had Lyndall Cooley come back. He was our worship leader here in Brownsville. I brought Brenda up on the platform. And we sort of had like a town hall setting. And we just sat down and started talking about revival.
Mm. Oh.
We started talking about what happened in revival. And we had people mail in questions that they wanted us to deal with, and we dealt with those questions. It was sort of like a town hall.
So that's on this tape.
And it turned out really, really good. Mm-hmm. Brenda, I think, did an excellent job. And so did Lyndall. Lyndall did a fantastic. They did great.
Then dealing with fierce times, you know, we're in perilous times. As Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, what does the world of perilous mean? And why is it important for us to understand these perilous times that we're going into? Do you want to share that?
Yeah. Well, you know, you're talking about preaching the truth. Whenever I was coming up under my pastor, he was my mentor and my spiritual father, and I was with him every day for years, and he was brilliant. He was German, but he had a brilliant mind, and he was the most humble man I've ever met, and I wish I only had the walk with God that he had. He was really a powerful man of God. But he raised me up, and this is what he always said. He put this into us constantly. He said, son, you're never as bad as they say you are.
Oh,
and you're never as
God.
Good as they say you are.
Yeah.
He said, you're just somewhere in between. And he said, you're just somebody for unknown reasons that God has chosen to use, but it doesn't make you special. And he pumped that into me so often that people can compliment me to this day, and it doesn't go to my head because of how he trained me. I think what happens to a lot of these preachers, the reason they quit they preach strong for a while and people start criticizing them and they back off of it, is because they believe that they're as bad as what people say they are. And pastor said, you're not as good as they say you are, and you're not as bad as they say you are. You're just somewhere in between. You're just an average person that God has chosen to use. And so I've always done my best to preach truth to people and to tell the truth, you know, the way I see it. But in this day and time, I believe that the day is coming, and I believe we're there, that people are going to begin to leave some of these seeker-sensitive churches, and I'm not against them. I love these guys. I really do. But I believe they're going to start leaving some of these seeker-friendly churches in droves, like Israel leaving Egypt. And when the things happen in the world that's happening, and they intensify, people's going to leave those churches because they're not hearing what they need to hear. And they're going to say, give me a man or woman of God that'll tell me the truth. That's where we are. People are wanting to know what the world is going on. And they're not hearing it behind their pulpits. And you can't be afraid to preach it. You can't be intimidated to preach it. You can't be afraid you're going to lose a big tither. You can't be afraid of losing social media people. I don't even pay attention to social media. I'm not on Facebook, never have been on Facebook, never will be on Facebook. I don't care about Facebook. But, you know, people want to hear today.
Yes, they do.
And anyway, the word fierce there, the reason I titled it fierce, is because the word there for perilous times, as Paul said, in the last days, fierce times will come. It's actually the word fierce. And we're living in those fierce times. And Jesus talked about it. The Apostle Paul dealt with it. But here's one of the things about the Apostle Paul that we need to look at. Peter preached to the Jews. Different apostles preached to different nationalities and different groups. But Paul was the Gentile apostle. God raised him up to preach to the apostles. Now, he was highly trained in the Judeo beliefs. You know, he was highly trained in Judaism. But God sent him to the Gentiles. Well, who was the Gentiles? They were the heathen. They were the people that practiced sexual stuff. They were the ones that practiced immorality. And so they didn't have that Judeo background. So when the Apostle Paul started dealing with the Gentiles, they didn't have the teachings of Moses. They didn't have the writings of Abraham. And so they got saved, and Paul began to establish churches. They got saved. But they didn't have any Mosaic teachings or any Abraham influence. Paul did, but Paul had to deal with people that got saved now, but they had no teachings on morals. They had no background in how to live holy. So the Apostle Paul was constantly saying things to these people like this. you have heard that it hath been said, but I tell you again. He had to constantly remind them, adultery is wrong. He had to constantly remind them, homosexuality is a sin. He had to constantly remind them that fornication is a sin. And so he was reminding these people that came from that Gentile heathen background, you can't do those things. And here's one thing I want to say. I do not believe, and I will never believe, that the message that's being preached today of this excessive grace, and I do believe in grace, and I treasure it, and I preach it, but this excessive grace that really gives you a license to really live any way you want to live and just throw caution to the wind and say, well, once saved, always saved. Whenever I die, I'm going to heaven. That's mighty risky. That's a risky way to live. That's called Calvinism. But if you read the writings of the Apostle Paul, and I want to just give you a few of these. He was writing to different churches. It's really interesting how he began to address these churches. And he said to the church at Corinth, listen to his writings. This is so unusual. Now, he's writing to heathens. He's their apostle, but he's writing to them. But look what he says. I got it in a different version. This is in the NIV. Paul said, do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? He uses the word inherit. Do not be deceived, he said. So he starts with, do you not know? In other words, he's talking to these Gentiles. You don't have the writings of Moses. You don't have the teachings of Abraham. Have you never heard that wrongdoers are not going to inherit the kingdom of God? And then he says this. He says that many people basically have been born again and they entered the kingdom, but they're not necessarily going to inherit the kingdom. And there's a difference. See, you enter the kingdom through salvation. This is the door. You entered the kingdom. And you got all this time to develop your spiritual walk with God, and you enter into the kingdom. But when it comes time for you to die, if you've entered the kingdom and you went back into your old ways, God's not going to let you inherit the kingdom. He's just not going to do it. Let me give you these scriptures. They're powerful.
They are powerful.
Here's what he said. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom? He said, they will not inherit the kingdom. Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or those who worship idols or commit adultery or male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or thieves or greedy people or drunkards or abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom. He said none of these will. Mm-hmm. Now, you got to remember, Paul's not writing to heathens here. He's writing to people that came from a heathen background, but now they're born again. He's writing to Christians.
Yes, yes.
And then he says this, some of you were once like that, he said. Mm-hmm. Well, all sinners are going to be like that. But he says, some of you were once like that.
Oh, yeah.
But you were cleansed and you were made holy. You were made right with God by the calling on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then at the church at Galatia, he writes this. Mm-hmm. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I warn you, as I have before, he said, that those who live like this, and he says the word again to the Galatians, will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Hmm.
So Paul is saying, I've told you before, but I'm having to tell you again and remind you, you're going back to some of these things. You may have entered the kingdom, but it don't mean you're going to inherit the kingdom when you die. Inheritance only happens when you die.
Right.
So one more place here in Ephesians, in church at Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
He said, for this you can be sure that no immoral or impure or greedy person, such as a person who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of his Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Let no one deceive you with empty words, because such things God wrath comes upon those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, here's what Jesus said now, and I'm going to end with this. Here's what Jesus said. He said, many will come to me in that day.
Yeah.
And here's what he said. They'll say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils? Have we not done miracles and all this kind of stuff? Well, the first thing that gives it away is he said, Lord, Lord. He said, first of all, the Bible says no man calleth Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So these are Christians. He said, no man calleth Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So these are people that's had a spiritual experience. The Holy Spirit has shown them that he's the Lord. And he said, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils? You can't cast out devils if you're a sinner. Only a Christian has the power to cast out devils. And have we not done many wonderful works in your name? And Jesus said, I will say to them in that day, depart from me. And here's what it says. I never knew you. He knows everybody. But it says, I never approved of you, you workers of lawlessness. Well, what's going on today? Lawlessness is everywhere, including the church.
Yes.
People won't let a pastor deal with them. They'll pull the shoulder away. How dare you tell me that? That's none of your business. You know, so it's the spirit of lawlessness. He said, I will say to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. In other words, you workers of lawlessness, I never approved of you. In other words, here's what happened. I gave you the gift, and you took the gift, but you went out on your own and did it, but you didn't do it under my supervision.
Wow.
I gave you the power of the Holy Spirit, and you went out there and you did these things, but you never asked me one thing about it. So what I'm trying to say is this. I think there's going to be a lot of people in the last days that's going to think they're okay because preachers have convinced them they're okay, but they're going to get a shock of their life. So it's incumbent on preachers now, as never before, to get behind their pulpits and not preach a message of fear.
Right.
And not preach a message of insecurity. But listen, if I'm on my deathbed and I'm about to go into eternity, I want somebody to tell me the truth.
Yes.
Absolutely. I want to know the truth.
Absolutely.
And I don't want some preacher scaring the life out of me. But it says that not all who enter will inherit. So that's what I was preaching at my church that day that you guys heard.
I want everyone to order the video in times like these, fierce times,
for
just a gift of $20, and that includes shipping and handling.
Mm-hmm.
But order this right now for a gift of $20,
mm-hmm.
and you can probably get a few of them.
You absolutely
because
can.
Because if you want to evangelize, send the preacher out to your friends and neighbors.
And to your preacher.
Absolutely. You can get three of John Kilpatrick's Fierce Times and In Times Like These teaching DVD for $55 donation to the ministry. And we also have the Baker's Dozen, 13 of the Fierce Times and In Times Like These teachings for a donation of $140 to the ministry. So get on the phone right now and call that number on your screen, 1-888-988-1588.
How long ago did you get saved?
I got saved when I was about 12, 13 years old.
Have you had any warfare since? Have you, do you think you've ever sinned since that age?
I don't really think so. many, many times. And, you know, you have to repent often.
Yes.
But, you know, one
you
of the
have to keep that heart sensitive to God.
Yes.
You know, one thing Pat Robertson always said, he always just said it almost every day on television, keep short accounts with God.
Amen.
You're not just wiped out. You know, people get to the point where you say, well, you're preaching against sin, and that means I'm going to hell. No! It means you can have forgiveness of your sin and have eternity with God. There's a warfare even to the saints.
Well, here's what's happening in many places, though. I know you probably know this, but I hear it often, and I get calls from pastors that it's invaded their churches. But there's actually teachings now from some of these excessive grace people that you don't have to repent anymore. You know, you don't need to repent. Repentance is absolutely unnecessary. And they'll also teach that, you know, tithing is not scriptural, that you don't need to tithe. They'll teach that the Sabbath is not the Sabbath. And they'll also teach you nowadays that you don't have to pray. So, first of all, if you don't believe you got to repent, that means you're not going to depend on the Holy Spirit to put people under conviction. That means when you preach, there's going to be no conviction in your preaching. And it's not going to lead anybody to repentance. So, therefore, you're not going to give altar calls. And then if you believe that people don't need to pray, you're not going to call prayer meetings at your church. You're not going to lead people in the sinner's prayer. I'm okay, you're okay. And that's what's happening in churches today. And it's more widespread than what we would even begin to imagine. And it's growing every day. I hear it all the time. But I feel so sorry, Brother Jim. I feel so sorry for people. I get letters from them now. And I get emails from people all over the place. And here's what they'll say. We have driven 100 miles to the north. We've driven 100 miles to the south, to the east and to the west. And we cannot find one Bible-preaching church in 100 miles of our house. And so people will say, we're watching you and we're watching some other people on television. And now that's our church because we can't find a church around us anymore that preaches the word. And so I feel so sorry for church people because they have believed the gospel, but now all of a sudden there's another gospel. And this other gospel has got no teeth in it. And it's a gospel of accommodation. We're going to accommodate people where they are and make people feel good about where they are, but we're not going to preach on this stuff because it makes people too uncomfortable. So, you know, that's what people are, the older people especially, feel disenfranchised. They can't find a pastor or a church.
A few days ago, I on this program, I was very upset, and I talked about the fact that children were being taught that they could have sex changes in kindergarten, first grade, second, yeah, and third grade, and that they, if they felt like a girl and they were a boy, they, right, could become a girl. They could, right, become a boy if they were a girl. And, I mean, I didn't realize I was raising, you know, I just thought any parent, Mondo, you got a boy and a girl. Do you want them having surgery? Do you think it's they should have surgery and have their private parts cut off and their breasts cut off and changing from boy to girl?
Absolutely not.
You don't want them to hear that teaching, do you?
No. And that sex education of children is what, you know, it's so crazy because here in one part, society wants you to be private about abortions, yet they want to make the sex of education publicly.
I can't believe, Pastor, I'm on out of time now for today. We'll be back. You'll be back tomorrow. But what do you think when we're being taught in the, or the schools are teaching little kids that they don't have to be a girl or they don't have to be a boy, and yet God created male and female? I'm talking about God. I base what I believe on God. And so I've been threatened because I said that to be destroyed. Sure. They're going to destroy me if I don't, sure, shut up.
I can't.
But here's the problem. I'm too old to shut up. And I'm a sinner. I've sinned. So if you look at people and say, oh, Jim's holier than thou. No. I've had warfare my whole life.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, God has taught me that I have, that's, I think Pat Robertson said it, keep short accounts with, yeah, God. And so there's times when I have thought bad thoughts or I have done this or that, yeah, sure, and I have to ask forgiveness or I've been angry or Lori and I had a fight and I don't want God to, you know, be upset with, sure, me or her. You know, I want us to always be in harmony with God. All I'm trying to do is get people, yeah, into the heaven. But I was so shocked because the Disney organization, which I always thought, you know, was, yeah, a great organization. I thought, you know, they had nice little kid movies and, yeah, stuff. And that they took this stand.
Yeah.
And now we've got this whole angry thing going on in our country. And,
well, let me ask this question.
Where are we, Pastor?
Let me ask this question. Okay, so we know they're being taught in school, mm-hmm, and we know what Disney's doing, mm-hmm, but I have a question. What's going to happen when that's being taught in the church?
And it is being taught in some churches.
But now, here's what I'm trying to say, though. The church is usually about 5 years behind the world. The church is usually about 5 years behind. The culture does this, and it takes about 5 years for that culture germ to work its way into the church. What's going to happen when your minister gets up behind the pulpit in 4 or 5 years from now, and they're teaching the same thing about transgender and about, you know, the surgeries on the little boys and little girls and all that? What's going to happen whenever that's preached behind the pulpit as doctrine and that grace covers it, and we have to accommodate people to be who they are? And the church says, amen, amen. I'm trying to tell you, as sure as I sit here, it's coming.
Mm.
It won't just be Disney. It won't just be in the school system. It'll be in the house of God. You watch what I tell you.
It's later than we think.
The Lord asked this question. The Apostle Paul asked this question. He said, can you save yourself from this untoward generation? Now, I know the Lord saves me by his blood, but the apostle said, can you save yourself from this untoward generation?
Yeah. But in this book, Fierce Times and Times, I think you talk about hell. Do we not teach hell in church anymore? Is that a subject that's not being taught, do you think?
I think many people has come to believe that hell is flameless. It's what they're going through. It's not flames in the afterlife. They tend to believe that hell,
well,
now.
If this is hell, I don't want to go to the other one.
That's right. But they tend to think that hell is flameless, and it's just circumstances you're going through. Oh, I'm going through hell.
Mm.
And they tend to think that hell is not really real, you know, that now we've replaced that hell with circumstance.
Do you believe hell is eternal?
I absolutely do.
Torment?
Listen, I believe the Bible.
Yes.
That's your problem, Pastor.
Huh?
That's your problem. You believe the Bible.
I know it.
There's not many left that believe the Bible.
I guess now they put the doctorate degree on me, I'll have to quit believing the Bible now.
Well, our time's gone for today, and we'll be back tomorrow with John Kilpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
Order his video. It's a DVD, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They'll really enjoy Brenda.
Oh, I'm going to love this with
on
Brenda.
On that town hall, they'll enjoy it. Brenda and Lyndall did great.
Yeah, your wife is a woman of incredible wisdom.
Yeah, she is.
And incredible love for God. She's a mighty woman of God.
Our time's totally gone.
Yeah.
Don't forget to help us with our outreach. And
this
that building right
outreach.
There,
mm-hmm.
they're putting the plaster on the walls,
right.
and they're painting now. And we want to open that building to bring refugees there. We can put in hundreds of refugees in that building.
Mm-hmm.
And we may have to move out of Vultra Village. They say they fear the tanks are coming down the road there at Vultra Village.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Vultra Village.
Vultra
Village is packed full of children right now. And young people.
Orphanage.
And in the orphanage. And that's
orphans.
The headquarters of the Orphans Hands
we've partnered,
Ministry.
As you know, with Orphans Hands Ministry. This is our outreach, our ministry outreach.
That road right there, they say the tanks will come down that road. And if they see those beautiful houses, they will go there. And so if the tanks start rolling, we've got to get out. We've got to move all the kids out. We're going to try to take all the furniture out and move up to the other place. But this is the kind of thing that's going on there. And we're doing something that's crazy. And people say, why are you doing this, Jim? You need funds to stay on the air. But we can't watch people die on
no,
the screen.
Not in front of our eyes and just turn a blind eye to it. We cannot. So you know, we have partnered with the Orphans Hands.
You've outlawed the Bible, and the Supreme Court has almost said we can't have the Bible in school and all these things. And yet, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Don't you think we might ought to dig that one up and use that one again at least?
You know, that in the actual rendition doesn't say thou shalt not kill, because the Bible practiced, you know, capital punishment. It says thou shalt do no murder.
Mm-hmm.
What it actually says in reality, thou shalt do no murder.
Mm.
And there's a big difference.
Big difference.
The Lord even told some of the leaders, you know, in the book of Kings and all, he said, go in and slay and kill all. And it was, he gave that commandment to kill. So killing is not something that's extra biblical are non-biblical. It's thou shalt do no murder. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you're on the battlefield and you kill the enemy, that's not murder. That's war. Mm-hmm. But if you turn on your buddy in the foxhole and you take a knife and stab him in the heart because you've had a disagreement, that's murder.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just brought up a new subject.
That's right. And our time
he'll be back tomorrow.
Yes, our time
and
is up for
we do
today.
Have
but
to go.
Everybody can
but
do
we need your
Jim.
Support. Mm-hmm. Some of you could send an offering today and just say, Jim, we want to support your outreach so that you can help all of these people that are fleeing war right
Absolutely.
Now.
Yes. They can do it right now by donating $500 to receive that beautiful Lion of Judah tapestry that you see on your screen right now. They can donate blanket, a comforter right now for $20.
That's right.
You can also donate $265 for 66 Bibles, Ukrainian Bibles in their language, 66 in one case, $265 donation to the ministry to spread the word of God all over the Ukraine right now.
Right.
You can also, you know, we need their help at home for this ministry to continue to go. You can do the Count Me In right now for $30 a month. We need your help to stay on the air. And those monthly donations, that's what helps keep us going.
It really does.
We really need everyone's help right now to be able to stay on the air. So I hope you'll call that number on your screen, 1-888-988-1588, and say, count me in, and donate $30 a month to the Jim Baker Show.
Or more.
Yeah, or more.
$30. I personally do more.
$50, $100, $500, $1,000, you know, whatever you can do. But that's going to help this ministry to be able to stay on the air. So we need your help today.
Don't forget that God loves you. He really does. John Kilpatrick will be back tomorrow. Don't miss it on this week's show.
We love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today. 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to The Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri 65615. Please make all checks payable to Jim Baker Show. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.
Hello, I'm Tammy Sue Baker. I want to invite you to the Pentecostal Fire Gathering here at Morningside, USA. Join us May 17th through May 19th for 3 days of worship, prayer, and revival like never before. Our special guests will be Tommy and Miriam Evans, Jesse and Parker Green, and Larry Sparks. If you can't join us here at Morningside USA, you can register for the online event for only $30. Registration includes a DVD set of all the worship and teaching sessions. For more information and to register, visit our website at jimbakershow.com. Let's get ready for revival.